The text that we meditate upon this morning is Philippians 3, 13 and 14. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, we sit here this morning at the beginning of another year, the year of our Lord 2011. Our gathering together for worship this morning allows us the opportunity to begin the year here in God's house. The primary activity that we engage in as believers is the worship of God's name. We do that in absolutely everything we do. In our everyday lives, we strive to worship God and bring glory to His name. But that worship comes to its focal point when we gather together as the body of Christ. And so by beginning the year here in God's house of worship, what we do by that is demonstrate that this will continue to be and is the most important thing in our lives in this year to come, the worship and the service of our God. But by gathering together for worship this morning, we also have a nice opportunity to look at a text that talks about the future, that looks ahead and how we are going to go forth in this year to come. Philippians 3, 13 and 14 is a text that does that. We come at the beginning of a new year to a major, as it were, checkpoint in the races that we run, the spiritual races that we run. And as we embark on this main new section of that race, the question that we face is, how are we going to go forth in that race? And as we are instructed in Philippians 3, we are going to do that by pressing toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Jesus Christ. Let's look at this text then under the theme, Pressing Toward the Mark in 2011. We look at three things: the meaning, the manner, and the possibility. Pressing toward the mark in 2011. The meaning, the manner, and the possibility. In the text, the Apostle Paul is using a figure to relay and to describe a spiritual truth. And the figure is simply that of an athlete running a race in order to accomplish the goal of the race and receive the prize for victory. This is a figure that we are familiar with. It's used in Scripture several times, one of which places is Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. And we had opportunity to look at that a couple or a few months ago. We run a race, a spiritual race, and we need to understand that there is a right way to run the race and there is a wrong way to run the race. And this text shows us the right way, the godly way, that we run our spiritual races. That this is what the apostle is talking about is simply evident from the language of the text. He talks about a mark. That's the finish line, the goal of the race. He talks about a prize, what you receive for accomplishing the goal. And he talks about pressing toward, running after that mark or the finish line. Every race has a prize. And a major part of this text has to do with the prize for victory. The Apostle Paul was certainly familiar with the ancient Greek Olympic Games. And at those games, there were races and there were prizes awarded to the winners. The immediate prize for the victor was a wreath of olive leaves that would be placed upon the victor's head after the race. But that really was simply symbolic of what was the real prize for victory. And the real prize was the honor and the glory that would be bestowed upon the winner of the race. In fact, for especially gifted athletes in the ancient games, those who could be victorious in more than one realm of sport, races and fights, for example, if they could win in across the board, as it were, they would be basically revered to the point of being a god. A statue would be made of them, and it would be placed alongside the ancient gods, the statues of the ancient Greek gods. Very little difference when it comes down to it with how the famous athletes of today are revered in our society, revered to the point of being idolized as gods. But that's aside. The point is, the Apostle Paul was familiar with that, and he takes that idea and applies it to our spiritual lives. So the question that we face at the beginning is, what is the prize? What is it toward which we are pressing? To answer that, we have to look at the beginning of verse 13 as well as the preceding context. At the beginning of verse 13, Paul says, I count not myself to have apprehended. In other words, I reckon that I have not yet fully laid hold of something. I have not yet grasped this thing completely. Well, what is that? To see that, you go to verse 12. And to summarize it in one word, it would be this: perfection. Paul realizes that there's something that he does not yet have. There's something that he's going forward to one day receive. And that is, when it comes down to it, the fullness of his salvation in heaven itself. We see then that the end of our race really is the day that we die and the day that we receive that fullness of our salvation in heaven. That's one way that he describes the prize, the victory prize. Another way is found at the end of verse 8, speaking in the language of the race, that I may win Christ, he says at the end of verse 8. Christ is the victor's prize. Now, Paul understood that he had Christ. He had Christ's righteousness. That's what he talks about in the preceding context. But in a certain sense, he's striving after Christ. And that is the day when he would see his Savior face to face in heaven. And both of those ways are, in a certain sense, summarized in what he says in verse 14. I press toward the mark for the prize. And what is that prize? It's the high calling of God. Another way to translate that is the heavenly calling of God. God's call is his work of addressing us, his children, and the result of that is that we are translated out of the darkness of sin and death and translated into the glorious light of salvation. It's God's call. He does this. He translates us. But the ultimate revelation, the perfection of that light, is the day when we will be in heaven itself in the fullness of our salvation. That's the prize toward which we are pressing. And that's what we do in this year, 2011. There seems to be a problem here, though. An objection that can be lodged against what Paul is saying in the text. And the problem is this. We said that the prize is the fullness of salvation in heaven. Perfection in heaven. If that is the case, how can Paul say what he does in this text? when Paul understands and we understand that that cannot be received here on this earth. We will never attain that on this side of the grave. It's impossible. If that is the case, why does he say this? Why even press toward that mark for that prize? We need to keep in mind a couple of things in light of that problem or that objection that can be raised. And the one has to do with what perfection is. Perfection, when it comes down to it, has to do with fullness and maturity. And that's why when I described the perfection so far, I've tried to do it in terms of the fullness of our salvation. That's what heaven is, and that's what he's striving after. Because it's interesting, in verse 15, immediately after the text, Paul says that he is perfect. Let us, therefore, as many as be perfect. Well, how do you reconcile the two? Striving after that, but at the same time, he's perfect. He's perfect because even now he's mature spiritually. He has Christ. He's a child of God. But he recognizes that that is not static. It doesn't stay the same. There's development. There's growth. And the ultimate development and growth, the fullness of that, is the salvation he will receive in heaven itself. And so the important point and principle that we need to remember all of our lives long, but especially as we begin a new year, is this. We must always remember that while heaven on this earth is not possible, and everything heaven entails is not possible, what is possible is this: development and growth spiritually. Growing in our walk with the Lord. Growing and developing, maturing in our fight against sin. And in our living a holy life here in this earth. And that's why Paul says what he does in the text. That's why he says, I press toward that mark. I strive to grow and to develop in my fellowship with my God. A fellowship that will culminate in heaven itself. The idea of press toward is to run after, to run swiftly. Keep in mind the figure of the race. The idea is that one is running with his body stretched forward. The adrenaline is pumping. Energy is expended to the highest degree in order to reach that goal, to reach the end. It's very, very interesting that the word translated press toward in this text, more often than not in the New Testament, is translated differently. It's translated to persecute. Verse 6 of Philippians 3, concerning zeal, persecuting the church. That word persecuting there is the exact same word as press toward in the text. Jesus' words to Paul on the road to Damascus, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? The exact same word. You understand why that is the case. When someone persecutes another, he runs after that person with all of his might, either literally or figuratively, to capture that person and to persecute that person. Paul takes that idea and applies it to our spiritual lives. Paul does that because it drives the point home with respect to how we are to go forth in our lives. Paul realizes that those who persecute the church, and he himself was a supreme example prior to his conversion, those who persecute the church and the citizens of the kingdom of God do that with a certain amount of zeal and passion. When people set their mind to wreak havoc upon the church of Christ. They do that with all of their might. They give it their all. Paul himself did that. You can find examples throughout all of history, people in the world today. Paul sees that and he says, just as those people persecute the church with that zeal and passion, with that same passion and zeal, we are to go forth in our spiritual lives pressing toward the mark. And so at the beginning of a new year, we need to look at ourselves honestly and squarely and ask ourselves, do I have that passion and zeal? In other words, is it the most important thing in my life to grow spiritually, to develop in my walk with my Savior? Is my passion for other things, sports, entertainment, pleasure, work, fill in the blank for your own life, is my passion for those things greater than my passion for my spiritual walk in this world? That's the question that we must face. And we must pray earnestly that what is the most important thing in my life as we go forth in 2011 is our desire to grow and develop in our walk with our Lord. So that is the most important thing. And I do that with a certain amount of zeal and passion. Paul helps us out in the text. He shows us how we can do this, how we can press toward that mark. And that's found especially in verse 13. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. So in the first place, forgetting those things which are behind. When you keep in mind the figure of a race, you understand why Paul says what he does in the text. One of the worst ways to run a race is by looking at what you have already accomplished and the parts of the race that you have already run. Try running effectively and the fastest while you're trying to look back. You can't do it. That's not the best way to run. That's true physically looking behind, but it's also true in a certain sense mentally. When you're running, when you're striving to get to the finish line, one of the worst things that you can do is dwell upon what took place already, resting in your laurels, as it were. I got this far. That's not the way to do it. The way to do it is to concentrate on what's ahead and that finish line. And that's how Paul says he runs his race spiritually. This is the confession of Paul. I press toward the mark. There were certain things that he needed to forget and leave behind. Distractions for him to run the race and make progress spiritually. And the main one is found in the context of Philippians 3. And that has to do with what Paul confessed and the doctrine that he confessed prior to his conversion. And that is the doctrine of works righteousness, as he did so as a Pharisee. The notion that my salvation is on the basis of what I do. It's striking that Paul could not have written this verse as it appears in the Bible today if he was a Pharisee and if he confessed that doctrine. Works righteousness does not say forget those things which are behind. It's just the opposite. It says remember those things which are behind. Remember those things that I did and accomplished, because those things are the basis for the prize that I will receive one day in heaven. He couldn't have written this verse. But Paul recognizes that he cannot think about what he accomplished in the past even the good things that he did as a Christian. Because the moment that he dwells upon those things, what naturally happens? You have a sense of pride, a sense of self-reliance. I did this. I did that. And Paul knows for him that that is a hindrance, a distraction in making progress spiritually. We do not go forth resting in our own strength, trusting in ourselves, relying upon ourselves. We go forward trusting and relying completely upon our God. And that's what we need to do as well. We forget those things which are behind. This does not mean for us, and Paul is not saying that we need to forget our past. Not in the least bit. Erase our past as you would erase the hard drive on your computer, never to be retrieved again. That's not what Paul is saying. We don't want to forget our past. Certain people in our lives in the past, relationships that we had. In fact, oftentimes remembering those things helps us in the future, helps us to do what Paul says in the text. That's not what we forget. What we leave behind are the distractions in our life. Keep in mind what we're striving after, the goal, fellowship with God, development in that, ultimately in heaven. When we realize that that's the goal, we see then that the distractions, the things that are behind, are everything that hinder us spiritually in making that progress. It's the weights, the burdens of sin and sinful activity. And once again, as we begin the new year, we look at ourselves in this regard as well and confess and repent if that is what needed. Are there things in my life that are slowing me down, that are making spiritual progress very, very hard, if not altogether impossible? If there are, the calling we have then is to put those things away, to leave them behind so that we can go forward and we can press toward that mark. So that's one thing we do. We forget those things which are behind. The other thing is we reach forth unto those things which are before. Just as looking behind is the worst thing we can do when we run, looking forward is the best, especially keeping in our mind and in our view that finish line. That's what keeps us going and energizes us to finish the race. And the same is true in our spiritual lives. Keep in your minds the prize. Never forget it. Never forget what we're striving after. When you realize what it is, fellowship with God, life with God, if you really understand what it is, the result will be that you will want more of it, and you will want to grow and develop in that. There's nothing compared to it in all of this world. Keep that in your focus. And when you do that, you will be energized and encouraged to continue to grow in that. But what can we do concretely to help us in that pressing toward the mark? One thing that is absolutely necessary, but very hard to maintain with zeal and regularity in our lives, has to do with our devotional lives. If we are to press toward the mark in this year, 2011, we need to be busy in our devotional lives, busy in the Word of God as individuals and as families. We will not grow and develop in our walk with the Lord if we are not reading daily the Word of God and meditating upon that and praying over that. It's an absolute necessity if we are to grow in our spiritual lives. And so let us be renewed as we begin another year to take seriously our devotional life and not let the busyness of this world and the busyness of our lives and other things take precedent over that most important thing in our lives. Closely related to that, and another thing that helps us in this, is having a certain spiritual mindedness, a certain spiritual frame of mind for absolutely all things in our lives. It's easy and natural to think spiritually in the face of difficulties and burdens. But we must strive to do that for everything in our lives. The normal activities, the mundane, as it were, activities in our lives. And then you see why these two points are so closely related. Devotional life and this spiritual mindedness. The only way we are to think spiritually is when we are busy in our devotional lives. Because then we read God's Word every day in light of our everyday earthly lives. We strive to apply that to our everyday earthly lives and follow that Word in all things. But understand why we do this. We don't do it simply for the sake of doing it, but we do this because when we have this spiritual frame of mind, when we are busy in the Word, that means that we are walking daily with our Lord. And that means that we are growing in our relationship to Him. And therefore, in a very real way, pressing toward the mark. Is this even possible? Is it possible even to receive this prize? Is it possible even for us to press toward that mark? It is possible. Of course it is. And the possibility rests in one thing. No, really one person. And that is the Lord Jesus Christ. The very end of the text. In Christ Jesus. The possibility of receiving the prize is Christ. We cannot receive that victor's prize in and of ourselves. Fellowship, life with God. How can we? We're sinful creatures. Sinful creatures cannot fellowship with the thrice holy triune God. Something had to be done. And what had to be done was the work of our Lord Jesus Christ, who took upon himself our sins. Jesus Christ pressed toward the mark. Jesus Christ received the prize for victory. And the prize for his work was where he is right now, sitting at God's right hand, ruling over all in heaven. But the course that our Lord Jesus Christ ran, that led to heaven for him, was a course that led right through the suffering of the cross. And it was through that suffering that we receive the victory's prize. Our sins are covered. We are made righteous. That's the preceding context in Philippians 3. So that we do have this life with God, and one day will receive the fullness of that prize, salvation and life in heaven. And Jesus Christ is also the possibility of us going forth, pressing toward the mark. We don't want to do that in and of ourselves. But because we have Jesus Christ, because He's in our hearts and by His Spirit, we do. We do want to have this fellowship with God. We do want to grow and develop. We do want to press toward the mark. And we will do that by God's grace in this year, 2011. We've covered the text. The major points in the text, but there's one phrase that we have not yet touched on, and that's what we conclude with this morning. Verse 13. But this one thing I do. But this one thing I do. Beginning of 2011, we stand at the beginning of the year. And we have many plans for the year. For some of us, there are many burdens and anxieties. For all of us, we will be engaged in so many things in this year to come. In the busyness of our lives, it is possible for us to forget this one thing. Paul understood that, and that's why he says what he did. But this one thing I do. In everything that we do in this year, let us never forget this one thing. Let us never take our eyes off this prize. In all that we do in this year, whether it is the most normal of activities, our everyday, daily lives, or whether it is going through the hardest and the most difficult trial that you can ever imagine, through it all, let us do this one thing. In 2011, let us press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God. And let us do that with confidence. Complete confidence that one day we will receive that victory's prize, fullness of salvation in heaven itself. And we do that with confidence because that prize for victory is not dependent upon anything we do. But that prize is in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father and God in heaven, help us to follow this word that we have considered this morning in this year to come, so that faithfully we press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of Thee in Jesus Christ. Forgive, Father, what was said or what was heard in sin, and go forth with us in this day, and bring us back into Thy house tomorrow if it is Thy will. In Jesus' name do we pray. Amen.